On Thursday, April 20th, 1939, the people of Berlin awoke to the sound of military units arriving for the grand birthday parade of the Chancellor and Führer of the Greater German Reich, Adolf Hitler. The sounds and sights gladdened the hearts of many. Even the sun shone brightly, providing glorious Führerwetter, as Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda minister, had dubbed it. A public holiday had been declared, and the entire city urged to line the route leading to the review stand in Wilhelmstrasse and give a collective Sieg Heil salute as the Führer passed in his 7-liter black Mercedes. 50,000 troops, 1,000 for each birthday year, would march past the review stand, followed by columns of tanks, armored cars, and motorcycle sidecar units. The parade would take 4 hours to pass. Swastikas were draped from balconies and windows, and shops and office buildings displayed photographs and busts of Hitler. Combined with a flood of propaganda and praise for the individual at the heart of the state, the message seemed clear. Germany was Hitler, and Hitler, Germany. The strong man of Europe had annexed Austria, with the Anschluss bringing the country of his birth inside the new German Reich, and had executed his will to tear the Treaty of Versailles to shreds. Germany had rearmed and faced down Britain and France, two of the powers that had defeated it a generation before. At home, he had promised and shown a way out of the economic depression. In the United States, shocked by Hitler's dominance, Time magazine made him its Man of the Year for 1938. To those who watched the closing events of the year, it noted, it seemed more than probable that the man of 1938 may make 1939 a year to be remembered. A defeated nation, a nation that had been made to feel ashamed for its part in the Great War, a nation trampled down by poverty and unemployment, was now, for many, a great nation again. Some people, yes, were being put in concentration camps, Marxists and socialists who talked Germany down, Jews who had been blamed for the war and for the economic collapse, but these were defeatists, the enemy within, the Nazi propaganda proclaimed. All good Germans, real Germans, must show their pride in the fatherland, and that must mean supporting Hitler. Didn't it? Hitler's birthday appeared to be a day of double celebration for the tall, handsome Luftwaffe officer, Haro Schulze Boysen. As he watched the Heinkel bombers and Messerschmitt fighter aircraft cross the city skyline in tight formation, colleagues congratulated him on his promotion to lieutenant. He had been told that he would soon be taking on a new role in the Air Force Intelligence Division, scanning foreign press reports and writing briefings for one of the most powerful figures in the Third Reich, Hermann Göring, who had come to see himself as something of a mentor to the young aristocrat. But Schulze Boysen was, in fact, a daring, sometimes reckless, anti-Nazi. Aided by his wife, Libertas, he planned not only to reveal some of the regime's most heinous crimes, but also to turn over its military secrets to the enemy. As war consumed the world, he would become one of the most significant spies at the heart of the Reich. Arvid Harnack watched the spectacle of the birthday parade from outside the economics ministry where he worked. He had met Schulze Boysen and, terrified by his bravado, had distanced himself from him. But soon their paths would cross again. Serious and fiercely intelligent, Harnack was a high flyer, one of the nation's greatest academic minds who had studied in England and the United States. At the ministry, he was the perfect Nazi, working to ensure that Germany had the economic power Hitler would need to carry out his will, at home and abroad. But in reality, Harnack was at the center of a growing opposition movement to Hitler and was already sharing some of the Reich's most confidential secrets with both Washington and Moscow. As he watched an SS man carrying a staff on which stood a gilded eagle clutching a swastika in its talons, he wondered what his wife Mildred would make of all this. She was American, but loved Germany. She had recently visited England and Denmark and seen what the foreign press was reporting about the Nazis. She despaired when young students she had taught at the University of Berlin told her that Hitler was saving Germany from the Jews. That Thursday, busy passing Harnack's secrets to America's only spy in Germany, Mildred had not wanted to be anywhere near the parade. Later, Harnack would tell her that the sheer length of time it took the troops to goose-step past was a reminder of how Hitler appeared to be taking Germany and its people nearer to war.